This FabFM Voice of the Douglas Shire podcast is proudly brought to you by Bendigo Bank, Port Douglas and Mossman, offering a full range of competitive banking products and technology you'd expect from a big bank with the personal service and care you'd expect from us. Drop into your nearest branch at Port Village Shopping Centre or Front Street Mossman. Bendigo Bank, the better big bank.
The medicine lady, Dr. Alex Bernhardi, is in. That's the steam train about to go. It's all happening. It is a Wednesday, but yes, it's not a Sunday. The steam train of a special Wednesday version. And the doctor was with me. How are you going, firstly? It's been a couple of weeks because Paul had a chat with you last week, didn't he?
Yes, that's right. And I accidentally, I think I called him Gary because I was so used to having you there. But he didn't mind, so that was good.
Excellent stuff. Well, we're going to talk about something that is an interesting topic because you think of pain as a nasty thing. But, you know, without it, we'd be in trouble probably because we wouldn't know things would happen to us that shouldn't be. So I suppose let's start. I always like to start with the very simplest of questions. And there's always a non-simple answer, of course. We could go into some depth. But what is pain?
That's a really good question. And the answer is that pain is actually something that we cannot really measure. So it is a little bit complicated to explain. It is definitely a very subjective experience. Pain is part of a protective mechanism that warns us about anything that we try to do that would harm us physically or is already harming us, or it warns us about a function in our body that needs attention. So the whole experience of pain consists of 2 to 3 different steps. Firstly, we have receptors in each tissue, so the skin, the deeper tissue, muscles, bones, ligaments, and our inner organs. And if these pain receptors get triggered, then that trigger goes through your spinal cord and then it gets connected there and shoots up into your brain. And once it is in your brain, a couple of things happen. So firstly, what happens, and you know, if you put your finger in a flame and it gets too hot because you've got it there for too long, you automatically withdraw your finger. I don't know anybody who would just continue to leave the finger in there. So that's sort of like part of that autonomic reflex system that happens once that pain has reached your brain. But there are other factors, and they are then a lot more make it a lot more subjective, and that is on a higher level in your brain, you put your experience and your emotions to that pain stimulus, and that then can change the perception of the pain significance for you and the pain intensity. And then what happens over time, and that's the third step, if the pain is not only an acute experience but persists for quite some time, then that pain can get modulated over time. And that's a very, you know, complex system then as well. And that is when things get really tricky as well.
So are you saying there that potentially, because, you know, you hear the stories that they suffered with it for so long and eventually didn't really notice it. They got so used to it, basically. So is that what you're hinting towards, that you can get used to that and just get on with life with the pain, pretty much?
Well, the pain can form the brain. The brain can form a pain memory. And then that is sort of like a self-fulfilling prophecy a little bit. But it is important to point out that it is not just something that happens in the imagination of patients, but it is a real pain experience.
You mentioned about, say, pain as it's triggered from, you know, putting your hand in the flame and going through the neurons and off to the brain to, say, pull your finger out sort of thing. I mean, is that one particular type of pain? You've mentioned more or less an emotional side there as well. Are there different types of pains? Is pain fundamentally the same, or are there variations?
There are definitely variations, and it is important to differentiate between them because the treatment for each of these different pains will be very different. So we basically have two groups of different pain categories. One is called the nociceptive pain, and that is a pain that is based on what we just discussed, on these receptors in tissue which get triggered when, say, you cut yourself or your appendix bursts or you've got a gallbladder attack, something like that. And then we have a pain which is called neuropathic pain, and that is pain where there is a damage to the neurological pathways. So that's a little bit more like a tricky to treat pain, because there are so many different actions and steps involved in that. With the first, so that your normal ordinary pain that most people have, if you have an injury, if you have an operation, even if you have a toothache or something like that, that kind of nociceptive pain is the most common sort of pain, and it just depends on is it very superficial, like your skin, or is it a little bit deeper when you've got a broken arm, or is it happening in your organs? And that then also gives you different qualities of pain. And it's really interesting that it is for most people so difficult to describe the quality of pain. We struggle a lot with that. And if I ask patients when they come in and they say, oh, I've got a pain there in my knee or in my tummy, and I say, oh, can you please describe it a little bit, and I make suggestions, it's really difficult for us, because I think our language just doesn't have sort of like specific words for that. So we use all words like hot and sharp and stinging or cramping or dull and aching, but they are all sort of like little aids just to describe it. But it's very useful to really reflect on the qualities of the pain, because when you go and see your doctor, then that can help a lot to try and find out where the problem is located.
As we said at the beginning of our chat, a very complex subject, and one that would you would imagine would be quite simple. We'll take a little bit of music. We'll come back. We'll talk about painkillers and other options to relieve pain, and discuss whether they're good for you or not, and the ones that are and aren't, maybe. And we'll look at some acute and chronic pain, and maybe there's a difference there too. That's our medicine lady, Dr. Alex Bernhardi. She will be back shortly to discuss those things. If that is of interest for you, do stay tuned. It is Fab. Good afternoon. Across the Douglas Shire, it's Fab FM. Good afternoon. Gazza through till 4. Our regular guest on a Wednesday is our medicine lady, Dr. Alex Bernhardi, who has been a GP in the area, particularly in Mossman, for around about 13 years. That would be correct, wouldn't it?
It is correct.
And as we said a couple of weeks ago, a few other projects on the go, and your think tank is very, very popular, as I've been discovering, so well done with that. So interesting times indeed. We're talking about pain, though, today. We've discovered there are different types, and one of the jobs of a GP is to find out what sort of pain you have, because that might lead them to discovering what the issue may be, I guess. Painkillers, though, of course, I feel another big topic potentially coming on with this one, but painkillers, you think of your tablets, the usual stuff, but tell us more.
Yeah, so painkillers, and now that you mention it, it sounds even like a little bit of a political statement, but painkillers obviously are always just as good as your strategy is. So painkillers can always just be, you know, part of addressing the problem, looking at the root, and then, you know, and then treating the cause for your pain and not only the pain. However, leaving that aside, there are probably three or four bigger groups of painkillers. So the first, and that is the most popular one, your go-to in Australia anyway, that's your paracetamol. Paracetamol works as a painkiller, and it also brings down fever. So therefore, it's very popular to use that in children. Then we've got the big group of your non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. which includes things like aspirin and ibuprofen. And their primary role is in acute painful conditions which are associated with inflammation. So that's where the name comes from. And then the third big group is the big group of opioids, which we try just to use for very severe pain, say after an operation or for cancer patients. And then there is another very diverse big group with lots of other add-on treatments like muscle relaxants and things like that that can help the original painkiller to work more efficient.
So I guess, again, we've already discussed the fact it's discovering what sort of pain you have, which might lead to the actual root cause. You've hinted to, you know, not masking the problem by getting rid of the pain is important too. But where do you start? I'll give you an example. I had some issue years ago, and the doctor said to me, just get paracetamol. But actually made the statement, don't go and buy some flash powders that taste like lemon or something like that. Just get the most basic one, the cheapest you can, because at the end of the day, 500 milligrams of paracetamol is 500 milligrams of paracetamol. I mean, is that true? I mean, with all these different options and these more expensive versions and the cheaper ones, the supermarket ones that are dead cheap, where do you start and what are the best options?
Well, I guess you are opening a Pandora's box there, but I probably just try to answer really quickly to the problem that you mentioned with, you know, should you buy the more expensive original one, or is it okay to buy like really cheap versions? And I guess at the end of the day, it is a decision everybody needs to make for themselves. However, there is pretty good evidence that not always, but often in sort of no-name, very, very cheap generics, there is a risk that firstly, the actual ingredients is not as pure and as not in the right quantity in the actual tablet. And secondly, all the filler materials, the stuff that makes the tablet, that could be of a different inferior quality as well. So personally, I like to stick to brands that I know, and brands preferably if they are made in Australia. That's like with all things, you know, I like to stay local there as well. But coming to the wider problem with painkiller use, one thing that really concerns me is that paracetamol, firstly, is so easily available in every supermarket. It's right next to your toothpaste. And I think that really gives the consumer the wrong idea that it is always safe to take. And that's certainly not the case. While paracetamol and other painkillers can be literally a lifesaver, if you think about if your toddler has got a lot of pain, if you don't treat that pain, your young toddler will just refuse to eat and drink and, you know, and is at risk of dehydration very quickly. So painkillers definitely have a valid place. However, there is also a risk for adverse effects, for overdosing, because the actual ingredients, paracetamol, comes in lots of different brand names, and it is not always easy for every consumer to add all these quantities up, and then you can easily exceed the safe level of the medication. And in the case of paracetamol, it can cause acute liver and kidney damage. So you really want to make sure that you use it very mindfully, responsibly, and always in the least, in the smallest possible dose. And if you are in doubt, you should check with your doctor about your own requirements and if you would belong to a person who would better be off to take a much smaller dose than recommended normally.
Once again, getting back to discovering what sort of pain, what sort of root cause and what is the best medicine for it. And as you said, checking with your health professional to give you that correct advice. Acute pain, chronic pain, they sound similar to me, but there is a difference apparently.
I think there's a world of a difference in between there. Most people with acute pain, they respond really well to simple painkillers, and it should then, cause that your pain goes away and you make some, you address your lifestyle or whatever has led to that pain. If that is not happening, and we see that often, people with chronic back pain or with this tricky form of pain that I mentioned, what we call neuropathic pain, this neurological pain, which is really, really difficult for the patient, but also for the doctors. If these kind of pains persist, then we have chronic pain. And chronic pain is still a real pain. So the patient, again, it is not just an imagination. They do experience a real pain. However, there is no existing injury anymore. So with the example of the back pain, if we have had like a muscular strain or something, and we got that pain initially, the muscles and the ligaments and the tendons, they are healing, over a time of 6 weeks or so. However, your pain experience in your brain persists. And that is then can be really debilitating. And of course, painkillers, yes, as a part of the overall strategy, can still have a role. But then if you take painkillers for too long, you will also feel more and more of the various side effects. So you want to really look at trying to adapt to living with a certain degree of pain, rather than focusing on the pain to go away. And in order to do that, luckily there are a lot of good other remedies and mechanisms that we can apply. So one of it is acupuncture, meditation, yoga, mindful exercise, aromatherapy, so essential oils can help. Fish oil has been found to decrease pain and tenderness, especially in people with rheumatoid arthritis. There are some herbal medicines which have been studied really well, and I guess the evidence is, still coming in and getting more and more. But there's definitely a couple of herbal medicines which has been well recognized to work well, especially for our chronic back pains. So willow bark, devil's claw, chondroitin, glucosamine, peppermint oil for irritable bowel. The list goes on and on. And it is sometimes something that you need to just experiment with and see what of these things could work for you.
Different ailments require different medicines, and everyone's a little bit different too.
Yeah.
I'll just mention, I hope I pronounce the name correctly, Margit, who popped in some essential oils this morning during Paul's show and said, can I get some thoughts from the doc? And basically you've covered that, saying these other options that may work, and there's a whole selection that we have there to choose from, those essential oils. So Margit, there's your answer in really, in a very briefly, yes, certainly they are some other options that you've provided there that are certainly worth giving a go if you suffer from ongoing pain. It's an interesting topic that, as we said right at the beginning, is larger than you would think. But we hope people aren't suffering too much out there. But look at all of those options. And once again, do talk to your health professional if you are in pain. Medicine Lady, Dr. Alex Bernhardi, thank you for your time. We'll catch up with another interesting topic next week.
Thanks, Gary.
Pleasure as always. Very interesting stuff indeed. If you have any questions, actually, and I've been meaning to say this for a few weeks, as always, as you know, my email is available 24/7 for whatever topic. But if you do have any questions with any of our topics, and you can catch up on our podcasts from previous conversations and subjects that we've had, you can email me, Gazza with two Zs, Gazza at fabfm.com.au. It is indeed Fab. Good afternoon.